You want to take your Bibles out to Ephesians 3:20. This goes all the way back 60 years ago. This land that we were sitting in, this building, this spot was just a field. There was no church here. It was just a field. Pastor Denhoff would drive by this. I used to sit and talk with him, and he would tell me about driving by this property and just praying, saying, God, that would be a great location for a church. So God, one day, let us build a church there. He told me that one day he would go back to the back corner where the Memorial Garden is, and he would sit back there, and he would just pray over this property. He just asked God, Lord, give us this property. Allow us to build a church here. And God worked out the details, and the first building was built. It's kind of weird to see it like that. I'm glad it's not cold like that right now, but that's the first building. That's where our kids department is right now. That's where Big City and Kidstown is right now. And that's how it all started right there. And I'm just curious, how many of you were part of that building or when it was that? Raise your hand right now. There's a few of you in here. So our church is about 59 years old, and a lot of people were part of that and even saved in that building right there. And God gave us that first building. It was through the vision and the prayer and the work of Pastor and Mrs. Denhoff. They were our founding pastor. They came here with a vision to do this. And the ministry grew. The gospel was being preached. Lives were being changed. And eventually the church grew to the point where they needed this building that we're sitting in right now. It looks different. If you see inside, you're going to see a lot of red inside the building that was there. How many of you guys remember these days right here of the red carpet? Okay, a lot of you remember the red carpet. You had to walk in, put on sunglasses, find a seat. It was bright, which would look beautiful at Christmas. And the mission was the same. Pastor Denhoff would stand in the same spot. Now, it looks different, but he would stand in the same spot, and he would preach the gospel. Amen. It was for the gospel. The mission is still the same today. He shared Jesus. He lifted up Jesus Christ, and thousands of people, literally thousands of people, have been reached and impacted by the gospel. And the thing is, I've heard people today say things like, I wish God worked that way today. I wish things weren't so different. I wish things weren't so changed so much. And I want you guys to know that times have changed, but God has not changed. God has not changed. And Paul is writing in this passage, and he's building up the church, and you could hear the excitement because he's talking about the working of the Spirit of God. He's talking about the fullness of the Spirit of God and how God works in throughout all the ages and how God's power is not limited. You can hear the excitement in his voice, and he says, now unto him that is able. Listen to what he says, to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages. By the way, that includes us. It doesn't matter if it's 2024. It doesn't matter if the world's gone crazy. It doesn't matter if things are complicated. World without end. Amen. He made a promise. This is what God was saying to us. This is what he was promising to us. That number one, he was saying to us that God has more for us. Now unto him that is able. He was literally saying that there's more work to be done. There's more people to be reached. And God is able to accomplish it. That word able in the Greek is really interesting. It literally means that God has the ability to do what man cannot do. Doesn't matter if it's complicated. It doesn't matter if it's difficult. It doesn't matter if there's people that are beyond our reach. They are not without God's reach. They are not beyond God's ability to change and reach people. Amen. He's able. Do you know why we do what we do? You know why we go above and beyond ministry? Because he's able to set people free that are stuck in addictions.
He sure is.
He's able to restore marriages. He's able to heal the brokenhearted.
Yep.
He's able to break through bondage.
Yep.
It doesn't just say able. He said able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think.
Yeah.
The exceedingly abundantly is actually a compound word in the Greek. It is a word that they would use, and it's only used twice in the New Testament, but it was a word that they would use when they had no words to use. And when you say something is awesome, and I use that word all the time. Mrs. Denhoff used to get on to me, and she'd say, now you got to save that word awesome. I said, what do you mean? She says, that word awesome means awestruck. She said that sometimes that there is no word that you can say, and you just stand there, and you're awestruck. And she said, I save the word awesome only when I'm describing my God. I use it when I'm describing ice cream. I don't use it in that way. I'm like, this is awesome. You know, I'm like, I misuse it, I guess. But I always remember her talking about that. But the idea in this passage is there are just some things that just completely amaze us that what God has done. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. That whole passage of what he's saying is, don't limit God. That God is able to do far beyond what you could ask or think. Whatever you ask for, you pray for, God is able to do far beyond that. Sometimes in our thinking, we're thinking, man, life has changed and things are complicated or things are difficult and it's so much different reaching people today. And God says, don't limit me. I'm able to be exceedingly abundantly about what you ask or think. I can awestruck the church. You know, we serve an awesome God that's able to do this above what we ask. And I think that's what we're going to do in a minute, is we're just going to ask. And whatever we ask for, I know that God can exceed that. We ask him to fill this room. We ask him that the Spirit of God works inside these services to help the brokenhearted. I ask him that when people come here, that they don't just experience Christians, they experience the Spirit of God working through Christians. Amen. That our worship is more than just singing a song. And it's not just filling a room. If we have a vision to experience a touch and a move of God, he says in the second part, he said, we ask exceedingly above what we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. He holds the power to do this. Now, I want you guys to understand something. I don't care how fancy the tech is or how cool the room is or how new the carpet is. That is not what changes lives. We can get so wrapped up in these things of the shape of the cross or the length of the cross or the color of the lights or the song that we sing. The power is not in any of those things. Don't ever get caught up in the methods or the tools that we have something. It is all through the Spirit of God working through us. And I love in that passage, according to the power that worketh in us. I don't understand this and I don't get this, but God has chosen us. Nobody's sinners that messes up. And he says, if I put my hand on you in the Spirit of God, he can do great mighty things through us. Amen. By the way, when I say through us, I don't mean just the people standing on this stage. That's right. The work of Jesus and going forward and doing more and going above and beyond to reach people has to happen when God's people step up and say, pull me in, let me help. Can I tell you guys something? We've got a lot of space on this stage. And there's a spot for you, for some of you, that should be up here playing an instrument or singing up here on this stage. We're not here for entertainment, although it is encouraging to hear the music and it should bless our hearts and our souls to be able to be here. But it's about all of us coming together saying that it's not the church that I attend. We are the church. The vision of all of this that we were doing was not to further the name of Jesus Christ, not to further our name, but to further the name of Jesus Christ. That's why at the end of this, he explains that it's according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages. I want you guys to know that this is all for the glory of God. Every bit of this is for the glory of God. If every one of us has the attitude that I must decrease and he must increase, it's not about my stage time. It's not about my name. Did you guys notice when we did all of this work, there's nobody's name being put on anything in this room? There's only one name that I want to exalt, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. That is the only name. You say, I give to this church. Praise God. I hope you give to this church for the sake of glorifying Jesus Christ. Not that your name gets mentioned. I want Jesus to be glorified through the music, through the preaching, through the teaching, through the attitudes of every one of us in this room. Because he said that at the end of it, it's not that the power that worketh through us. He says, for unto him be the glory. You know what the glory is? Just to make him known, make him seen. Do you know what the world is sick of when it comes to churches? It's fake and phony. I don't want to be fake and phony. I want to be just a servant of Jesus. I want to just lift up Jesus and praise Jesus and point to Jesus. I say this all the time, but I mean this. I just want to be one beggar that tells other beggars where I found the bread. If your name is title in this church is deacon, staff, pastor, whatever, let me tell you, it was Jesus Christ that got on his hands and knees and washed the disciples' feet before he went to a cross to die for our sins. There is no big shots in this room. We exalt the name of Jesus. So this space, this platform, this lobby, this balcony, the tech, everything that we have, it's dedicated to the name of Jesus Christ, the furtherance of the gospel, the reaching of people. You say, man, I'm so glad that I was reached 40, 50 years ago or 5 years ago, or Jake was reached months ago through our church. There's more to be reached. But without the Spirit of God touching what we do, it's all in vain. We need the Spirit of God. We need prayer more than we need practice. We need the Spirit of God. If this all shut down and we had to meet in the parking lot, praise God, let's meet in the parking lot. As long as the Spirit of God works in the parking lot, we're going to be okay.